have a thought this morning that I've been considering this week and thinking about. I went to, I guess it was Madison, is where I went to Sunday night and visited. And I guess Brother Spurgeon preached one of the more edifying services that I've probably ever heard preached. I was truly blessed to be there that night. And this, I sat back there and, you know, thinking how I wish that I could preach a service as edifying as he did, doing as good a job at preaching as he did. And I know that when the Lord called me, he didn't call me to be like him. But I always desire to try to do the best that I can. And with the thoughts, I guess, maybe of edification on my heart this morning. You know, I feel many times in our churches, as I listen to that, many times that possibly that the church is not lifted up enough, that it's not edified enough. Many times we are preaching and we're instructing in the way of salvation and the ways after salvation and all the, I guess, the pitfalls of life that comes after that. And I think most of us that have been saved for any length of time, been going to church any length of time, we know and we understand that. But this morning I want to just, if I can, with the Lord's help, just take a look at some things. And I hope this morning that I might be able to edify, that I might be able to build up. And with the things that I say, not necessarily me, but the Spirit of the Lord, that you would leave here edified, lifted up towards God. Because, you know, I think about all the good. We just come out of an effort meeting. We just come out of, and the Spirit of the Lord was here, and there was a good diligence of everybody coming and supporting and doing and praying, and the Lord met with us. And had there not been good diligence, then the Lord wouldn't have, I don't believe. He wouldn't have met with us, and we wouldn't have felt that Spirit in His presence here in our midst to bless us and to lead us. And I thank you this morning, each and every one that took part in that effort. I thank you for your effort and for all that you do. Know that as I stand up here, I never try to take for granted anything. We're truly, for a small church, we're a blessed church. We have a lot of good things going on. We've got a lot of people that's plugged in and doing things. And I believe it's to God's honor and glory, and it's to edify the body of Christ. I believe we're all to edify one another, lift one another up, and each and everything that we do does that. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for each one of you. I just want you to know that today. In the ninth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to take a reading lesson from there. Might seem odd for what I've just said, but this is what I'm going to read. Verses, chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. It says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without the law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. If therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. With this reading here this morning, the Apostle Paul was talking to, of course, the church of Corinth, and he was telling them about himself, how he tried to, I guess the best way to put it is, do whatever it took to reach those that were lost, to save that they might be saved, to reach those that were around him that he might be able to edify them and to lift them up and to point them to Christ and the ways of Christ. Because he had a goal for them. He had a purpose for what he saw in these people, that they might receive the reward. They might receive the reward. I believe with all my heart that when we as God's people are doing what we're supposed to be doing, then the Lord does the reward. He rewards our lives. He gives us the blessings upon our lives. He gives us our happiness in our lives. He gives us peace in our lives. You know, I was thinking about last night some things about, you know, you see people in their lives, seemingly godly people, good people, but they just don't seem to be happy people. It seems like there's just something that's missing. The happiness and the joy that they should have of their salvation is lacking in some way. And you can see it in their lives, and you can see it in their presence when you're around them. Although they may never say anything or act like anything is going on, you can see there is lacking some sort of peace or joy in their walk with the Lord. Apostle Paul, he, in his many teachings, he was one that was big on works. I mean, he preached and he taught that people should work for the Lord. After they've been saved by God's grace, their next obligation was unto good works for God. And he preached that and he taught that, but he was looking, no doubt, to a further place. The Apostle Paul said many hard things in his preaching, and he and he no doubt set many people in their place, and but it was all for a purpose. He was looking at them that he might gain them, that he might get them to follow him and understand him, that they would just do the things of God, that they would follow the words of God, that in the end, there's coming a reward. In the life that you live, if you follow after the Lord, if you follow after Christ, there's a reward for you. The blessings and the peace of God that He gives compares to none. We've said many times here before that money can't buy happiness. Riches of this world and heaven, you can have everything in this whole wide world, you can own it. But it can't give you true happiness. Salvation is what gives you happiness. And then after that salvation is staying in the will of God and following the will of God and doing the will of God, that your happiness stays in check. You can be saved and you can be miserable too. You can be living out the will of God as a saved person and not be a happy person. You can be a miserable and live a miserable life. But the Lord didn't want it that way. Apostle Paul didn't want it that way. He said, we're running a race, as he was telling us here. He was making an analogy here to, an athletic event. And I know I probably mentioned this before, but he's making an analogy to an athletic event. And we're running a race. You know, from the point in time that the Lord saved your soul, He saved you. You can go back over in the writings of Ephesians. You were saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in verse 10, it goes on, you were saved unto good works. You were saved to do these works. And as He knows this, He knew that all those that were there, He knew of His persecution. He knew all the heartaches and the hardships that had befallen Him for serving God. And He knew that if those people, those Christians that were around Him, if they were to truly serve God, that they were also going to have these things. And He wanted them to know that it's an endurance thing. It's an endurance thing. You know, we've gone through our effort now of our revival. Like I said, we had the Lord blessed us. The Lord truly blessed us, and we've come into the, I guess, to the after section of our efforts and into that endurance part of our race. I was thinking that I hope everybody. I hope everybody has come to church this morning with the thoughts on their heart that somebody can be saved. But just because revival's over, that the Lord is not going to, His presence and His Spirit's not going to leave us, that our work and our efforts, that they continue on, and that we continue working. You know, and we have begun a good thing, I believe, when we go and visit other churches, and I believe it's our responsibility and obligation that when we go into our sister churches, that when the Lord impresses on us to testify or do something, that we should do it there just as well as we do here. That we continue and we stay steadfast in this endurance race that we're in. And he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I mean, temperate. He's It's a steady routine. He sticks with it. Just like the effort and the works that we put in during the effort meeting that the Lord blessed, we stay steady in that routine and that effort and that focus and that upon God and upon seeking His will and following Him and doing these things that He would have us to do. Because there's a reward waiting. There's a reward waiting. There's something out there that's beyond what we can see here upon this earthly ground. I know that many times that we are able to have, I guess what they'll say is hindsight 2020. We're able to look back and that things in our life, how the Lord has blessed us and how the Lord has orchestrated things with us that we could have never known or never done if we had tried. We can look back and we can see these things. But there's a prize ahead of us. There's something that we're looking towards and that we're looking to, and it's important. And the Apostle Paul knows that if we're going to win, if we want the blessings, if we want the rewards that God, who loves us and gave His life for us, if we want those rewards that He wants to give us, then we got to stay steady in the race, and we got to keep moving forward in this battle. The word temperate means to, I guess, they would, as it says, to an athlete, it was a diet that they had. They stayed on a particular meal or on a diet so they could get themselves in. You know, they wasn't gluttonous. They didn't overeat, or they didn't eat the wrong things or do anything. They did exactly what they needed to do to stay in the best possible shape for whatever event that they was going to do. That's the same way as a Christian. It's important for us that we have the best possible diet as far as the Lord is concerned, and our relationship with the Lord, partaking of the spiritual food that the Lord only can give us, and the blessings that only the Lord can give us, and the peace that only the Lord can give us. It's important that we, as God's people, partake of that, and that we know that this is an endurance race. If we try to go out, I know myself, if I tried to go out and run a mile today, I'd be hurting because I haven't trained. You know, some of these younger kids that are in good shape and they train and they run for their sports and stuff, they can go out and run it with no problem because they train. They work themselves up to that. As we, as God's people, we need to continue to work ourselves up to the point that we need to be, working harder and further for the Lord. And as we do that, that's where the reward comes in. That's where the blessings lie, within service, in our service to God. This is, the Apostle Paul was no doubt talking to the members of the church at Corinth, all those people that were there. But there's different places in the Bible where it tells us about actually every aspect. As far as the preachers go, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, verse 1, it says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that thou judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth, here's the Apostle Paul here knew he was coming close to the end of his life here. As he was giving this instruction to the young minister Timothy, he was coming very near the end of his days, and he knew that. He says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept my faith. His endurance was good. He kept the fight up. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. A crown of righteousness. You know, I tried to think about just what that'll consist of. You know, we have a picture in our mind of what I guess a crown would be, what you saw sitting, somebody puts a crown on a king. I don't know if that's what it'll mean. It says a crown of righteousness. And I just, one of these days, for all the labors that we put forth here upon this earth, we've got a reward waiting for us. Yes, it is work up until this time. And it's a work that's expected of us, that we're supposed to do. But the reward is so great. A crown of righteousness. That means we're righteous in God's eyes. That God has looked at us and deemed us righteous and right and worthy of this crown. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm so thankful for that. The Apostle Paul knew that no matter what the obstacle, no matter what comes before them in their life, you know, he lived in a time there was great persecution of the church, persecution of people that served God, that believed in God, that believed in Christ. We don't live in that today. These people did. I can see the emphasis on him trying to focus them on, look, it's an endurance race. Just hang with it. Just keep on keeping on. Just hang on to it. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep holding on to the Lord. Keep trusting in the Lord for everything that you want, for everything that you need. There's a reward coming one day. You're going to get a crown. You're going to get a crown from God Almighty as he's looked down upon you and the works that you've done here. Those that you pointed to Christ. Those that you told your testimony to. Those that you told about Jesus Christ and you led them in the right direction. You know, they're in this reading here, they're not all going to believe you. They're not, the majority of them that I've come in contact with are not going to believe you when you tell them the truth. But see, there's a reward for going forth and running the race and doing those things that we're supposed to do. There's a reward for telling them your testimony or for going out and telling them about Jesus, for inviting them to come to church and asking them about their soul salvation. There's rewards for these things, for these works and these efforts. And it's more than anything that any man could ever give us here on this earth. More than anything we could ever gain or anything money could buy, because it's given to us by God Almighty, the righteous judge of everything that's here upon this earth. I'm thankful for that. There's verses over in 1 Peter in the 5th chapter. It tells us some more about different ones of the church. It says in the 5th chapter, in verse starting in verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder with a witness of the sufferings of Christ, to, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." A crown of glory. Time after time. And I believe this right here is having reference to the presbytery, the officers of the church. The officers of the church, the pastor and the deacon, they're set before this body to be an example and a role model. And you know, if they do what they're supposed to do, what does the Bible say? You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. If we're doing what we're supposed to do. And then, likewise, in the fifth verse, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Now, this particular elder here means those that are older. You younger that are in here, submit yourselves to the older. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I'll just have to say, there was great respect from the children of everything that I saw this weekend. I was so proud of them. There was great respect for the preachers and for those that were older that were given by the younger. It's biblical. It's important. We can look and see very clearly that if you look over in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, where it tells about the church is going through the dark ages, the 1260 years, where they had to literally hide from all the persecution and all the things. You can see how the Lord was there with them, how the Lord blessed them, how the Lord watched over and cared for them. But that you can also see how Satan is trying to tear down the church. He's trying to do anything he can to put the church out of business. He would do anything he could in this service to take away the Spirit of God, to come in to hinder. You know, we had a service going on out there at the park, and everything was going good, and I guess somebody called the police on us while we was down at the park. Everybody had to go. The preacher was preaching a good message on salvation, and I know there was lost souls that were there, but there were a lot of people around, and no doubt it was having an effect on a lot of people. And somebody no doubt called the police, and there was a bunch of people had to get up from the service and go move their cars, and there was distractions, and there was things that was going on. Satan is always trying to distract. He's always trying to distract. He tries to distract us in our life, in our service to God, in our walk with the Lord. He's always trying to distract us. But just keep looking to the Lord. Just keep looking to the Lord, and He'll take care of these things. It says here in the 11th verse of this 12th chapter, and they that overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. There are a group of people who are these martyrs that gave their life. They have a reward waiting. They have a crown of righteousness. They have a crown of joy. They have blessings upon this day. As we look at this, you know, as we look at our efforts and we do these things, I pray with everything that I ever say or do, that it's always to edify. That it's always to keep our hearts and our minds focused on the prize at hand, on the end goal, on the crown that's waiting for each and every one of us that serve God. And it's always to build up, that it's never to tear down. I think that's what it's supposed to be. I think being a Christian is supposed to be a positive thing. I think it's supposed to be a happy thing. So many times, seemingly, it doesn't appear to be that way. But I believe with all my heart and soul that it's supposed to be the best thing in the whole wide world. And I'm so glad this morning that I am one. And I hope that I can always focus you and direct you to the end goal, to the prize, to the reward that's coming to us one of these days. That we can keep our eyes focused upon these things. And that just that God would bless your lives and your families. That He would save your lost. I truly hope that more than anything this morning. Because I love y'all. God bless all y'all. This morning, that's my message. I thank each one of y'all for being here.
Seth played and led us, so we just need to practice that, and I would greatly appreciate if y'all would do that. And I- minds in the church from all of us. We thank you that you sent us, and we will try to show you what we learned.
Appreciate this. Looking forward to hearing it. Truly am. Someone else this morning. If not, maybe time to dismiss. We've got business tonight, 6 o'clock. There's a lot of revivals that's going to be starting tonight. So if you get the opportunity to go and visit and support this week, please do so. If not, pray for them and their efforts. Just keep running that race. Keep working for the Lord this week. Lord bless you. Any other announcements or anything else on anyone's mind? Anything else? To my understanding, the baptism will be next Sunday night. Is that right? Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
It's a good time. Everybody be here.
Okay. We'll try to plan on that next Sunday night. Anything else? If not, all students will be dismissed.